Okay.
Hi, my name is Mohamed Al-Kafaji, and I am the Director of Strategy and Engagement at the Federation of Ethnic Communities Council of Australia, FECA. FECA is the peak body representing all ethnic and multicultural communities in Australia. It's the peak body that does a lot of advocacy around a lot of very unique issues relating to those communities. And previous to FECA, I was the chief executive officer of a not-for-profit organization called Welcome to Australia, which does a lot of advocacy for refugees and people seeking asylum in Australia and tries to create a more welcoming community for our newest Australians.
So, does FECA have branches in every state?
So FECA is a membership-based, so it's a federation. So in each state, we have a Multicultural Communities Council. And in South Australia, it's the Multicultural Communities Council of South Australia. And all the communities in South Australia, for example, the Sudanese Community Council of South Australia is a member of Multicultural Communities Council of South Australia, which is a member of FECA. So it's a, if you like, it's a pyramid model, and we represent all ethnic communities in Australia.
Oh, that's wonderful. We're actually here talking because I've set up a new podcasting platform, which is called Adelaide Chronicles. And I like the word chronicles because it's a noun as well as a verb, and so it suggests that it's an ongoing thing. But Adelaide Chronicles is about the stories that shaped Adelaide, and there's so many of them, and they're all interesting, but of course, we're starting with the first people first. So one of the questions that I'm asking people is, what does it look like to you, a future that respects the first people, but is also inclusive and sustainable? Because, I mean, in the end, we all want a place for our children and our grandchildren to live, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, if I remember when I came to Australia back in 2003 with my family as refugees, we didn't really know a lot about Indigenous people or who Aboriginal people were or what their place in society was and all of that. And all we understood of Aboriginal people and Indigenous people was the stereotypes that you see on TV and and all the biases kind of catch up with you.
Conscious and
Yeah,
unconscious.
conscious and unconscious, sadly. But I think over years, and thanks to the people that I'm surrounded with, and they have a lot of sense of social justice, and they kind of taught me about a little bit more about the history of Indigenous people and the injustices that have happened to them over time and over history. And then I started realizing that a lot of the issues are actually quite similar to what my family and I are facing when we came to Australia. The issues of racism, the issues of belonging, issues of being feel welcome, and having a purpose. I think all of those issues, although they're very different in the different context as new arrivals versus people who've been here for more than 60,000 years, but I guess we face the same challenges, if you like. And so that kind of grew my interest in trying to learn more and trying to figure out can we do more together and build more, I guess, partnerships and brotherhood and sisterhood and alliances between multicultural communities and refugees and our Australia's First Peoples. So, and I think if that alliance does come about, I think you'll find it's a powerful one and one that will support each other in our causes. They're very different causes, but I think we'll create like a strong unity and a partnership that will last for a very long time. And it's something that basically shapes Australia. The rich history that Indigenous people have with this place, but also what modern Australia is today, which is a successful multicultural country. People from all around the world have come to Australia for a better life and they've called Australia home. So gelling those two things together, I think, is quite fascinating. And I think there's a lot more work that we need to do.
And there's a whole lot of things that people are coming round to now. Like, people are saying things like, oh, we need to be more connected with nature. We need to put our bare feet on the ground. We need to... All these things that we need to do that they've been doing all along, and we just didn't listen. And so that wisdom is catching now. It's people are looking at it, and people are realising that we do need to be more connected with nature, and we do need to get away from the capitalist and consumer driven society that we live in to survive.
Yeah, that's right. I think we need to establish some kind of some level of respect for people who have been here forever, and not pretend that, you know, well, we just came and we know best. And I think that attitude doesn't make us better as a society. And I think if we come from a position of humility and respect for Indigenous Australians, then we will start to realise that there is a great amount of wealth of knowledge that is untapped, and you know, if we actually respect that knowledge and with humility, then we will realize that, wow, you know, we will discover, or you know, we will try to understand this incredible amount of knowledge that we've
Absolutely.
You know, we've kind of dismissed as I don't know, storytelling or whatever, and now we're realizing that, wow, this is actually, they've been telling us this all along, but we've just kind of put evidence to it.
What you said earlier about the difficulties that you faced, I mean, there seems to be a conscious form of othering, of having people not like us, a bit like us, but not like us, really. Yeah. So that othering that almost makes it okay to discriminate. Do you go along with that?
Yeah, I think, look... sadly, I mean, Australia is, we're used to kind of blaming the other for whatever the problems that we have in society. And sadly, our politicians and the media sometimes, when they hit rock bottom and they need a boost in their polls, they scapegoat the minority groups. Back in the day, it used to be, you know, the Greeks and the Italians and the Vietnamese. Today, it's the Muslims and the refugees and whatever, you know. Despite the fact that numerous studies and research has shown that migration is good for our country,
and
not just because of the skills that they bring, but the sense of resilience and the courage that we so desperately need to thrive and create new businesses and create new opportunities for other people to grow as a nation, our economy and whatnot. You know, if somebody left their home and with a suitcase and nothing else and comes to Australia and is, you know, the richest man in Australia, then that tells you, you know, that sense of resilience is something that is quite essential in being successful. And refugees and migrants have that sense of resilience and courage. So I think we should celebrate it and, you know, make them feel welcome and not try and, you know, demonize them in detention centers on Manus and Nauru and spend billions of dollars on damaging people beyond repair. I mean, that's not who we are as Australians.
No.
And so that's the sense of, I guess, social justice. You know, like, I came to Australia through the United Nations, and my family was made to feel welcome. And when I see other people coming to Australia who don't have the luxury of waiting in line, whatever that line may look like, then they end up on detention centres to be made examples of. And that's not who we are. It's quite sad when you see far-right governments in Europe looking at Australia on how they're, you know, doing their migration policy and adopting that policy for the benefit. So that really tells you something about who we are as Australia.
It's shameful, isn't it?
Well, it's shameful, but also, I mean, if you think about it, Australia is the hardest country to get to geographically. So if somebody actually, you know, made it to the mainland, they should be given a medal for you know, wanting something better for their family.
Yes.
That sense of resilience and that sense of courage, I think, should be celebrated and awarded rather than, you know, punished by, you know, putting them in prisons, not even in Australia.
So we were talking before too about how we can unlearn what some of the things that, that are so entrenched into the Australian psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really difficult thing, because as aware or conscious as people might be, the impact that early learning has is very strong. And unlearning that requires a lot of not just discipline, but will.
Absolutely. I think it's, I mean, I think trying to unlearn something is a lot harder than not learning it in the first place. And that really is shaped by the environment that person obviously grows up in, the people around them, the ideologies. So I think it's really important for us, even at this generation, it's still not too late, to really make an effort and, you know, meet people of Indigenous and Aboriginal culture and, you know, extend the same respect you give to your parents or anybody else. And I mean, there's, I mean, it sounds stupid to say, but I think to make friendship and actually, you know, get to know someone and hear their story and actually be friends with them, not just, hey, I know an Aboriginal person, hence I'm not racist, that doesn't cut it. I think, no, you need to befriend Aboriginal person and actually invite them over, go over, and until you don't see a difference, until you don't think that, oh, you know, X was Aboriginal, until you don't see colour, race, language, anything, that's, I think, that's when we know that we've come to a position of, I guess, equality.
Yes.
And then I think our kids then will see that and will not know anything other than this is just another person that is my friend. And that's when we start to change the balance in the conversation around Indigenous people versus all other white people.
So what's the first thing you'd do if you had your way?
Well, there's a lot of systematic and structural issues that need to be addressed. And I think the first thing I would do is listen and understand, not listen and, but I have my own opinion type of mentality. Truly listen and accept the wish of the Aboriginal peoples. Obviously, I think, you know, there is obviously the Uluru Statement and Uluru Statement from the Heart that we need to respect and acknowledge and implement. That's the first thing that Australia needs to do, because without it, we've lost the trust and we've lost the big push and the big effort to actually truly engage with Indigenous Australia. I mean, this is our one and probably only effort and chance to actually get it right. We've already botched it, I think, with saying yes, but no, but yes. I mean, that trust is already eroded, I think. But, you know, with the grace and generosity of the people who are behind it and their vision that this is possible and it will happen one day, we can continue that. And I think it's a matter of time before we see true leadership in this country that, you know, leadership is not popular. Leadership is saying this is the right thing to do, despite what my colleagues in the cabinet or whatever are saying, this is the right thing to do and this is what I will be doing and this is my legacy. And I think that's really important. But with this revolving door, prime ministerships, everyone's interested in their positions. Sadly, that we won't see that anytime soon, sadly. Until we see true leadership where they don't care about what position they're in, but they're there to achieve true social change, that long-lasting social change.
That's wonderful. And I'll just get my little point in. The first thing I'd do is develop a universal income.
Absolutely.
Everyone gets it, and abolish that disgustingly racist Healthy Welfare Camp.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the many, many systematic changes that need to happen. I mean, that's one of them, but also, you know, like there's tons and tons of things that we need to get through. But I think right at the start, we need that recognition in the Constitution, you know, of Australia's First Peoples. You know, I hope that when it comes to a referendum, that we see, you know, almost a 99%, because statistically you can't have 100%. So we want to see as close to 99% as possible to say yes to recognizing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as Australia's First Peoples, because that's a stance that says a lot. We still don't have this in, it's 2018, for goodness sake. We're still arguing whether we should do that or not. That's I don't even know what era we're in anymore. So that's the first thing we need to do. And then after that, a lot of things will start to change automatically after that.
I don't think we can say any more than that. I think that's fantastic. Thank you.
My pleasure.